Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuva Samech Daled. We're on Samech Gimel Amud Beis. We are on an extraordinarily interesting topic, but an extraordinarily delicate topic, and that's going to be the a woman who is married but is not towing the line, and she's what's called an halacha mareda. She's rebelling. She's rebelling against her husband. The definition of a merida. So the Mishnah is not clear. The Mishnah just simply describes a woman as being a meredis. But as the Gemara went on to discuss, so she is definitely a definition of merida is where she is going to be refusing to have relations with her husband. So he's interested, she's not interested, and she says she's not interested. So that is one example of merida. And the second example is where she doesn't want to do her maisei adam. She doesn't want to work. Okay, and that's subject to a debate whether or not that also falls under the category of being a moredes. What is going to be the strategy now? When, in other words, now that she finds herself to be a moredes, so what exactly is the strategy? So the Mishnah says is that ksuva, deduction from the ksuva, right? The ksuva is going to have a face value that upon death or divorce she's going to be receiving X amount. And so what we're going to do is that they're going to deduct for every week that she is in the state of being a moredes. So a deduction is going to be taken off from the ksuva to the point where you get to zero. What happens at zero? So then it's zero, so then the marriage is terminated. And, obviously, she has lost her ksuva. A discussion in the Mishnah, as to whether or not we're actually even going to go below zero. In other words, she can have a negative. How is she going to have a negative? You never know. She may get a Yerusha from somewhere else. So a debate in terms of whether or not she's going to go below zero. But nevertheless, that's the strategy in the Mishnah. And by the way, it's not just she that could be a Moredis. It's he that could also be a Moredis as well. So he could rebel. In other words, he could be refusing to have relations with her, or he could be refusing to support her. So what happens over there? So again, the same type of penalty. Obviously, over here, to penalize him, so what are we going to be doing? Adding to the ksuva. So the ksuva, again, has a face value of X, or whatever X is. So for every week that he's going to be rebelling, so more is going to be added to the ksuva. Okay, yesterday, I believe Alex asked me the question, which is the obvious question to ask, and that is there is a discrepancy of numbers in terms of how much we're deducting from her versus how much we're adding to him for on a weekly basis. So the Gemara is going to be asking your question, so that's going to be coming up a little bit later on in today's daf. However, what we're going to be learning about right now is that there's a different strategy, and the strategy of Rabbi Seinu. The Rabbi Seinu strategy, which definitely is definitely something for difficult for us to relate to, is that basically what you're going to do is that if she's a Moredis, so you'll make an announcement in shul, four consecutive Shabbosim. So four consecutive Shabbosim, you'll announce that she's a Moredis. It's hard. I don't know how else to say it. It's difficult to process exactly how this is. In other words, you're announcing she's a Moredis, and basically you're putting out their business in front of everybody. In order for her to change her position, okay, whatever. It's just difficult to imagine how this actually is a resolution, how this is a solution. But anyway, but mind you, however, and it took me a while to wrap my head around this. Rabbi Seinu's methodology is radically different than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what we just do is there's simply weekly deductions from her ksuva or weekly additions to the ksuva, depending on whether she or he, respectively, are going to be rebelling. In the Rabbi Seinu strategy, so four Shabbosim of announcements, and that's it. Meaning after 4 weeks of announcing and shul, and no change of behavior, at that point in time, full forfeiture of ksuva. And obviously termination of the marriage. Okay, so, the Gemara, we're going to pick it up in the Gemara Ami Rami Bar Chama. I think we did the first Rami Bar Chama, but we're going to go back to it. So where do we find ourselves now? Less than halfway down on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, picking it up where we left off yesterday. Amar Amei Bar Chama, In Machrizin Alaha, Ela Bebati Kinesios, U Bebati Medrashos. So where, in other words, if we're going to go down this strategy of the Rabbi Seinu, so the announcements are made in Shul, but only in Shul. Only in Shul, only the base Medrash. Meaning that this is going to be a formal announcement. In other words, this is not going to be discussions outside, although I have a really good feeling it is going to be discussions outside. But in other words, but as far as announcements are concerned, in shul. Am Rav Dekanami Diktani Arba Shabbos Zu Achar Zu. Okay. Shmamina. And when you read the Brisa, obviously that's exactly the sentiment that we get from the Brisa. It says for Shabbosim. So Shabbos is where everyone congregates in shul. And so it means in shul. Am Rav Bar Chama Pamim Shochan La Mi Beis Din. Achas kodem achraza v'achar, achas l'achar achraza. So the and what we do is that we send messengers from Beis Din, and we do so before the Shabbos, after the Shabbos, basically to inform her, to let her know this is what's happening. Darash Rav Nachman Rav Chista Halacha Karabaseinu. So now we have two different methodologies of what to do with a woman who's a Moredes. So strategy number one of our Mishnah, which is deduction, weekly deductions from the Ksuva. Strategy number two of Rabbeinu, which is announcements in Shul, four consecutive Shabbosim, at which point in time, full forfeiture of Ksuva. So which method do the Amoraim prefer? Okay, good. That's what we're discussing right now. So Darsh Rav Nachman Rav Chista Halacha Karabaseinu. So the Halacha falls like Rabbeinu, Amar Rava, I Burcha. So Rava hears this and Rava says, nope, it's not that what you're saying is simply not correct. So Amalei Rav Nachman, it's like my borcha morbacha say. So Ani Ana Amrisa Nihalei Umishmedeg Avirabba Amrisa Nihalei Umani Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. I happen to have said this over in the name of an Adam Gadol, right? It's someone who's extraordinarily respected and accepted, and that's Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. How could you tell me that this is not the halacha? I'm telling you, it's the halacha. V'iu Kaman Savar. Now Rava obviously does not agree. Rav is of the position that this is not the accepted halacha, meaning the strategy should not be following Rabbeinu. So ki hadin my Rava, Rava, I'm Rav Sheshes halacha nimlachem ba. So so Rava quotes in the name of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, who was a Talmud of Rav. So Rava says, I heard from Rav Sheshes nimlachem ba. Nimlachem ba literally means we consult with her. Meaning basically what we're going to do is that we're going to try to work with her. Now, again, what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be doing deductions, weekly deductions. But in other words, we're working with her, and not, we're not standing in the front, in the shul, and making announcements. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rav Sheshes Halacha Einim Lachem Ba. And then the another statement also happened to have been quoted in the name of Rav Sheshes. So basically what we're getting now are two different versions of what Rav Sheshes said. So, right, one of those examples, right, we just discussed this recently in the Daf, where sometimes machlokas are arguing in Svara, and sometimes they're just arguing about what he said. And so here seems to be an example of, we're arguing about what he said. What did Rav Sheshes say? Should we follow the Mishnah strategy of trying to work with her, but at the same time also weekly deduction from the Ksuva? Should we be following the strategy of Rabbeinu, which is 4 weeks of announcements in Shul, at which point in time forfeiture? Okay, so yesh v'yesh. Some say one way, some say another. They're both saying it in the name of Rav Sheshes. Okay. Hechidami. Okay, now here we get to right one of the most important parts of the entire discussion, and that is the definition of Moredes. Now, we already know that what she's refusing to do. She's refusing to be with her husband from an intimacy standpoint. Okay, that part we got. But in other words, but a simple question, meaning maybe she just doesn't want to be married to this man. Maybe what she wants over here is just simply out. Meaning, what exactly is the definition of Moredes, where we are basically encouraging the marriage, but, you know, we're trying to get her to change behaviors. And again, I keep focusing on her, but again, it could just as equally be him who's being the Morede. Either way, in other words, what's happening over here where, in other words, the marriage in of itself, okay, in other words, it seems like it's going well with a, you know, but, in other words, and I understand it's not a small one. It's a large one. But they're having some marital issues. Alternatively, maybe she just wants out, right? In other words, and then she's not a Moredes. So Hechidamia Moredes. So the Gemara over here is going to give parameters. Now again, it's going to be one line of Gemara that's going to try to give voice to human relationships and the complexity of human relationships. So obviously, right, this is something where, you know, experience and just having a high emotional intelligence is going to be extraordinarily helpful. But okay, the Gemara is going to try to summarize in one line exactly what Moredes is. So Amar Amemar Damar Bina Lei Umitzarin Lei. So she says, look, I love him, right? I'd love to be with him. But Mitzarenalei, but I just want to make his life a little bit more miserable. Okay, good. So in other words, and I understand, it's right, that's very hard to, you know, to put that in any kind of sentence. It's not a sentence, it's a paragraph. It's not a paragraph, it's a book. So, right, it's really hard. But Okay, the Gemara has condensed all this into one line. Not even a line. Less than a line. So that is the definition of Moredis. Where again, what we're going to do is that we're going to try to encourage her. We're going to keep the institution of the marriage. And we're going to try to get her to change her behavior. Ava, however. Amra, Maisalai. But let's say she says, look, as far as I'm concerned, the man is disgusting to me. Meaning, I don't want any part of this. And as Rashi points out over here, I don't want this and I don't want the ksuva as well. Right? Rashi writes, Lohu velo ksuva sobeina. I don't want him. I don't want the ksuva. Meaning, I just simply want out. So, lo kaifina lei. So, at that point in time, so there's no kfia. There's not going to be any coercion whatsoever. We're not, in other words, she clearly wants out. And because, and again, I'm saying the Gemara over like Rashi right now. It's not the only way to say it, but again, as per the daf, right, we're going to follow Rashi. And because she's also not only forfeiting him, but forfeiting the ksuva. So she forfeits the ksuva as well. She says she doesn't want the ksuva. She'll forfeit that as well. Okay. So Marzucha Amar, Kaifina La. So, and Marzucha takes another position. And that is even when she says Maisalai. So we're going to try to manage the marriage. Even when she says Maisalai. Now that's a very difficult position to understand. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to explain it. It's difficult. It's difficult to understand. So hava uvda v'achva marzutra v'nafik mine Rabbi Chanina Misura. So the Gemara tells a story anecdotally. So there was a woman who said Maisalai and Marzutra said, okay, but we're still going to manage the marriage. And not only did they manage the marriage, what came out of that marriage was Rabbi Chanina Misura. Anecdotal evidence that I'm right. In other words, that the marriage should maintain. Velohi, but the Gemara immediately dismisses. The Gemara says no. When she says Maisalai, at that point in time, termination of the marriage, there's no salvaging of the marriage, and we don't try to encourage them to remain married. And Hasam Siyata Dishmayahav. And as far as the story is concerned, so the story that you're giving me is a story that has with it a lot of Siyata Dishmaya. It's not normal. In other words, that doesn't normally happen. And over there, for whatever reason, in other words, for Kadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, so he had a divine plan in terms of why over there that kind of child is going to be produced from that kind of marriage. But if you want to talk about right and what is considered normative halacha is that when she says Maisalai, that's it. We're done. The marriage is done, and we're not going to encourage them to remain married. Kalte de Rav Zvid Imrada. Okay, the daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid was a Moredis. Okay, so quick observation, an obvious observation, and that is that it happens to everybody, right? Rav Zvid, right? The Amoraim, one of the Gedolim of the Tkufas Amoraim, and meanwhile, his daughter-in-law is a Moredis. It happens. So, okay, but anyway, so Kalta de Rav Zvid Imrda. So the daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid is now a Moredis, have a Tfisa Chachera. Now, the way Rashi presents it, she's not, in other words, even though the Gemara says Imrida, we're not talking about the standard Moredis, we're talking about Maisalai, where, again, full forfeiture. In other words, forfeiture of the marriage and forfeiture of the ksuva as well. Now, that's the way Rashi presents it. Okay, and obviously we're going to stay with Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. Now, Havetzvisa Chachera. So what is open now for discussion? Meaning, it doesn't seem like there should be anything open for discussion. She is rejecting him. She's also rejecting the ksuva. Okay. So he'll write her a get, and both of them will move on with their lives. What's left to argue about? Okay. So, right. What's left to argue about, says the Gemara, is Havetzvisa Chachera. So what she did is she held on to clothing from the marriage. And once again, we turn back to Rashi. And before we get to Rashi, sorry. Yosef, Amemar Marzucha Rav Ashi Yosef, Rav Gam de Gabai Yosef, Vikamisham Marda, Hifsida Balosa Kayamim. So if we're talking about a woman who's a Moredes, and again, Merida over here in the context of she is forfeiting. So not only does she lose her ksuva, but she loses also Balosa Kayamim. She loses her clothing. Now, to explain this a little bit better, and now I turn back to Rashi. So Afilu Bigadeha, Rashi writes, Sheikh Nisula bin Adun Yasa. Okay, we discussed this already numerous times, and in Ksuvos, this is like basic, and we all have to know this. And that is that when she goes into the marriage, so aside from the fact that there is a settlement amount written into the Ksuva, right, that's Manu Masayim, But on top of that also, what else gets written into the ksuva? Any assets that she brings into the marriage. Assets that she brings into the marriage where she wants them appraised. So those also will be written into the ksuva as well. Okay, in halacha that's referred to as nichsei tzon barzel. Nichsei tzon barzel, now what happens with that? So what happens is that it belongs to the husband. And what she does is that she's going to get at the conclusion of the marriage a full reimbursement of its original value as appraised and assessed at the beginning of the marriage. Okay. Now, there's also what's called nichsei malug, but that's not what we're talking about right now. Right now, we're just talking about nichsei tzon barzel. So, when she is forfeiting the marriage, so obviously, she's not going to be receiving the mana masayim, the settlement amount. That part is a given. So what is left now for litigation is what about her clothing? And not only is it her clothing, it's nedunya clothing. Clothing that she brought into the marriage that was assessed in the ksuva. Does she get to keep that or does she lose that? That's what we're litigating right now. So, Amalu Rav Gamda, sorry. So before I read on. So according to Rav Gamda, she's going to be losing that as well. That she will be forfeiting. So Amalu Rav Gamda, Mishum Drazvid Gavaraba, Mach Nefisu Le. So over here, the accusations are flying. Meaning, this is Rav Zvid's daughter-in-law. She was a moreta. She's forfeiting. And now, not only did she forfeit the ksuva, settlement amount, but she also forfeited the clothing. That's what you're ruling? Rav Gamda said, I know why you're doing that. You're doing that because the father-in-law is Rav Zvid. And that's why you're doing so. In other words, it's a serious accusation. And that is that you're ruling, not correctly, but only because because of who the father-in-law is. V'am Rav Kanami, bye-bye Rava v'lo pashit. Now, you know that Rava asked this question. Rava did not resolve this issue. And so it's an ibay de lo ishita. It's a question that was not resolved. So igadarmi, now in a slightly different version of what exactly happened. So in the second version, so yasvi v'kamri amar de lo ifsita b'lasa kayamim. So here in the second version, so she is not going to be losing her nichsei tzon barzel. So amalu Rav Gamda. So Rav Gamda on that now makes a comment, and that is mishum de Rav Zvid gavaraba hu achfisu lei ledina ilave. Now here, Gavaraba, Rashi points out, is understood in a different manner, which is that Rav Zvid, he's a very humble man, meaning he's a great man, and in the greatness also comes with it humility. He's a very humble man. And what you're going to be doing is that now you're ruling not in his favor, but in favor of the daughter-in-law, and you know that because you know that Rav Zvid's not going to say anything. You know he's not going to confront you on that. He excels in humility. So, and meanwhile, Hamar Rav Kahanami, bye-bye, lay Rav Avalo Pashit. And meanwhile, Rav didn't answer this question. So either version that you're going with, either because Rav Zvid is such a great man, you're ruling in his favor, or because Rav Zvid is such a humble man, so you're going to be ruling against him, knowing that he'll just accept anything you rule against him. Either way, I don't understand. Why are you ruling? Rav asked the question. Rav didn't answer the question. So I don't understand why you feel like you know better than Rava. So hashad lo idmar lo achi v'lo achi. So tafsa lo mafkin amalei lo tafsa lo yavin alei. Lo yavin alei. Let's put a pause over there. And because we don't know, because Rava didn't resolve this question, so what is therefore going to be the determinant in terms of her nichsei tzon barzel? Again, just to recap, we're talking about where she is fully forfeiting the marriage, the ksuva. So the only thing left open for discussion now is nichsei tzon barzel. Does she get to take that? Rava asks the question. Rava says, I don't know the answer. And so the Gemara says, what's going to be the determinant is going to be tfisa. Well, who's ever holding it? In other words, in a halachic question of who does this belong to, and we don't know the answer, so whoever the tofis is, whoever grabs it. Now, as far as the get is concerned, So the get don't write right away. Meaning, even in the case of forfeiture, so wait a year until writing the get, and then, but during that year, Leisla Mizona Klal, she's not going to be the recipient of Mizonos. Okay, and the way Rashi seems to present it is that when she fully rejects the marriage, when she says Maisalai, so even though it is a termination of the marriage, but not to be done with any kind of alacrity. Wait a year, you never know. She may change her mind. So a little bit unclear, meaning if it's an Ashes Cohen, I certainly understand. In other words, because this is something which is irreversible. But if it's not an Eishes Kohen, so then what would be a worst case scenario? She gets divorced and then I marry her again if they want to try again. So I'm not totally clear, or I don't fully understand why it is that when she fully rejects and it is grounds for termination of the marriage and the forfeiture of the ksuva, when she rejects both of those, and then we're still going to be waiting a year. Okay, so it's a little bit unclear to me. And again, that's the way Rashi presents it, but a little bit unclear. Okay, let's go back. Okay, so we are in a really sensitive topic of the Gemara regarding a Moredes. So I know we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about where it's more than a Moredes, meaning she says Maisalai, where there's a full forfeiture of Iksuva, whether or not she's forfeiting or Nichzitz on Barzel, open-ended question, but that is Maisalai. We're going now back to our Mishnah, where she's a Moredes, where she basically is rebelling against her husband. But at the same time, however, loves him, wants to stay in the marriage. But she's just, you know, she's being difficult. And she says it. I know I'm being difficult. So what happens? So what happens is that in order to change her behavior, so deductions are made on the ksuva. Again, that's our Mishnah strategy. Rabbi Sainer's strategy is different. But that's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Okay, so Amr of Tuvi Bar Kisna, Amr Shmuel Kosa Nigeres Merit Al Arusa, Vein Kosa Nigeres Merit Al Shemeres Yavam. Okay, so the Gemara quotes the following in the name of Shmuel. Okay, we're now going to basically be writing addendums to the ksuva. Okay, so once again, now we get into a very legal discussion, and that, of course, is addendum. Okay, so that's why I came to the daf today, right? Ksuvas daf samach dalet, addendum talk. So now that you have the ksuva, which promises her a certain amount of money, but now because of her behavior, we're deducting from the ksuva, so what does it behoove us to do? To write an addendum to the ksuva saying that she is rebelling, which is going to cost her. In other words, that's now going to be a deduction. So when she processes her ksuva with the addendum, so now what's going to come out is that, obviously, we now know that it's the face value minus whatever gets deducted because of her merit. So, Kosvin Igeres Merit Al Arusa. So the in Kosvin Igeres Merit Al Shomeres Yavam. So in a standard marriage case, so she rebels, so you write an Igeres Merit. So you write this addendum, this document that serves as an addendum. But what if she's an Arusa? Are you going to be writing a merit on her? Yes. Now, the Arusa is funny, by the way. The Arusa, they're not together, husband and wife. So what is she rebelling right now? So presumably, and we said this already before, I'm just resetting, you know, Q&A that we did previously, but that's good. It's called Chazara. So what she's saying to her husband is, look, right, we don't live together. We're not intimate together, but I have no plans on being intimate with you. In other words, I'm not interested in being intimate with you. She makes such a declaration. Okay, so even as an Arusa, that's considered a Moredes. Similarly, by Shomeres Yavam, right? We said the same thing. In other words, once again, Shomeres Yavam, they're not together, husband and wife. They have a Zika to one another, but they're not living together. How is she a Moredes? Same answer. Where she says, here's the game plan, right? Not going to be intimate. Okay, fine.
Is she
No, she loves him.
She loves him.
This is an issue now of not fulfilling her marital responsibilities, but she loves him. Exactly. Okay, so good. So, right, it really speaks to the complexity of relationships. Okay, good. So, Shmuel makes the following distinction. It's this is splitting the atom over here. In other words, for when the Arusa is being Moredes, for that you're going to be writing the Igeres Merit. But when the Shomeres Yavam is going to be a Moredes, you're not going to be writing an Igeres Merit. Okay, so the obvious question is, what's the difference? Meisve. Okay, so the Gemara now on this splitting of the atom of Shmuel, so the Gemara is going to challenge. Meaning, ultimately, what we have to understand is, why does he make a difference between the two cases? They are presumably similar structures. If you're writing an Igeres Merit on one, you write on the other. If you're not writing on one, you're not writing on the other. But why does he feel that there's a difference between the two? Ultimately, the Gemara is going to answer that question, but before doing so, Meisve. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to ask from the Braisa. Achas li Arusa, Nisua, Afilo Nida, Afilo Chola, Afilo Shomeres Yavam. So here in the Braisa, you're writing an Igeres Merit for everyone. meaning it doesn't matter whether she's an Arusa Nesua, whether she's a Nida, whether she's a Shomer Siavam. Again, quick recap. Nida, she's not with her husband. How could she be a Moredis? The answer is the same answer. Just, in other words, I keep repeating this. Eventually, you know, we'll absorb it. In other words, because even as a Nida, but when she makes a declaration, I'm not going to be intimate, that falls under the category of Ein Pas Besalo. In other words, the Nida is going to terminate, but they're not going to be reunited, husband and wife. Okay, so she at least as per her declaration. Okay, so anyway, but the point, of course, is that in the Braisa, the Geras merit is being written for everyone, every woman, including the Arusa, including the Shomer Siavam. So lo kasha. So the Gemara says, as far as we have to now resolve the difference between Shmuel and the Braisa. Shmuel says, I'm not writing any Geras merit for the Shomer Siavam. The Braisa says, is that we are. So the Gemara says, as far as that's concerned, that we can resolve. So Kan Shetavahu. In the case of the Braisa, so what he's doing, he's saying is that I want to go ahead with the Yibum. And she's saying no. Okay. And Khan, as far as Shmuel's concerned, so Shetavahi, where she is making the claim that she wants to do Yibum, and he's saying no. Adamar of Tachlifa Barvim, Amar Shmuel Tavahu, Niskakin Lo. Tavahi, ain't Niskakin Lo. And in fact, this distinction between Shmuel and the Braisa, in fact, we heard Shmuel already make this distinction in terms of who is right now refusing to do the mitzvah of Yibum. So, B'mayu Kimtalahad Shmuel, B'shetavahi. Okay, so. Good. As far as now the Bryce and Shmuel are concerned, Shalma Yisrael, we understand that in the event that when he's interested in Yibum and she's not interested in Yibum, okay, so once again, so you get now at this point in time, that then you're going to write Igeres Mered. And as far as Shmuel's concerned, when she wants to do Yibum and he's not interested, so we don't, no, that does not require any kind of legal action. The Gemara says, "Hi, Kosher Nigeres Mered Al Arusa La Arusa Mi Baile." So, first of all, can you fit that into the words of the Braisa? Because you read the Braisa carefully, it says you write in Nigeres Mered Al Ha Arusa. Now, the way we're presenting it should be La Arusa. So, the Gemara says, "Ha Lokashe Tani La Arusa." Okay, so if it's just a little editing of the Braisa, no big deal. We'll edit the Braisa. Okay. So, Maishan Shomer Siavam Dalo Damrin and La Zil Lo Mifkaret. So, when he is not interested in doing the mitzvah of Yibum, so why aren't we writing in the Geras Yavam? Because his argument to her is you're not mitzvah in the mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah peruvu. That's not it's a man's mitzvah. It's not a woman's mitzvah. So the if he's not interested in doing the mitzvah of Yibum, and she is, and she's demanding, look, he's rebelling, so the counter-argument would be, what's it called? It's his mitzvah, not your mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Arusa Nami, name Allah Zolom Efkarat. So why don't we say the same thing regarding the Arusa as well? Meaning, now that we know what Shmuel was talking about by the Shomer Siavam, what's the difference between Shomer Siavam and Arusa? And Arusa, where he's refusing. So so why can't he make the argument to that it's not your mitzvah, it's my mitzvah. So Ella Beba Machmas Taina Dam Rabina Khucholiado Marlukvura. So the Gemara says no. Even though it's not our mitzvah to have children, but pragmatically speaking, and we already made this point really clear in Yevamos, and we get to hear this again, and that is even though she doesn't have a mitzvah to have children, but nevertheless she can have a taina, a legitimate claim as to why she wants children. And that is, I'm going to get old. I'm going to need people to take care of me. And who am I going to rely on? You? Okay. You? Maybe yes, maybe no. You may not be there at the time. Whatever. I want kids. I want people to take care of me in my old age. So, Hachanami Shomer Siavam Beba Machmas Taina. Well, if that's a legitimate claim that can be given by the Arusa, that's a legitimate claim that can be given by the Shomer Siavam as well. Ella. Idi V'idi Tavahu. Okay. So the Gemara says, as far as a different proposal to the solution, meaning we're going to go back and we're going to reset the question from Shmuel and the Braisa. Shmuel says that we're not writing any Geras Mered for the Shomer Siavam. The Braisa says we are. So the Gemara says we're going to reset the question, we're going to propose a new answer. So that he's being Toveah, He's making a claim against her. V'lo kasha kan lachlots kan liabem. Da'amar Rabbi Padas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tava lachlots, niskakan lo, tava liabem, in niskakan lo. So if he's proposing, if he's proposing chalitza, and so the and what she wants is not chalitza but rather yibum. Okay, so at that point in time, we'll just simply let it play out. But what if he's proposing yibum? The I'm sorry, other way around. If he's proposing chalitza, sorry. So she doesn't want from it. So that qualifies as a merit. However, if he's proposing yibum, and she doesn't want yibum, so then at that point in time we let it play out. Meaning we don't qualify that as merit. So maishna liyabim delo darmin alei zil nasi v'isusachrisa lachlots lami name alei zil nasi v'isusachrisa. Gemara says, I really don't understand. What difference does it make? What his proposition is, yibum or chalitza? And she's refusing. In either scenario, she's refusing either chalitza or yibum. He can move on with his life. Meaning, what can he do? He can marry another woman. So ella da amar kiven da gidubi lo kayavi leachrita. The Gemara says no. In other words, no. Even though he could marry another woman, but in other words, but he's going to be, as far as the dating circuit is concerned, he's going to be less favorable, less desirable. Why? Because basically, in other words, generally speaking, women would love to marry men who have less strings attached, right? We all have strings attached, but less strings attached. In other words, and now he's going over to a woman and says, look, I'd love to date you. She'd said, love to as well. You see that over there? That's called your Shomer Yavam, right? How interested really am I when you have that with you? Okay, so in other words, so his argument could be that as far as Chalitza is concerned, so, right, I'm interested in chalitza. She's not interested in chalitza. But come on. In other words, I need to start dating again. So, hachinami kem da'agid be lo kayav le'achrita. Okay. Ella. So, the Gemara says, idivi idi. So, let's go back to the drawing board again. Shmuel's of the position that we're not writing an Egeris merit for a Shemeres Yavam. The Braisa says, we are writing an Egeris merit for a Shemeres Yavam. Again, what we're trying to do is understand and figure out how to resolve the two. Ela idiv idi shetava liyabim velo kasha. Really, what he's doing is that his proposal is we should do yibum. Okay, so now, how do we resolve the discrepancy where Shmuel says don't write the igeris mered, and the Braisa says yes, do write it. So kambe mishnah rishona, kambe mishnah achrona. Didna mitzvah yibum kodemus la mitzvah chalitza rishona shayu miskavnen l'shom mitzvah achsho shayim miskavnen l'shom mitzvah. Amru mitzvahs chalitza kedemus le mitzvahs yibum. The Gemara's resolution is very simple. There was a major attitude shift regarding yibum versus chalitza. We did this in Yevamos a number of times, right? Probably the one I remember best is Lamitas, and back in Yevamos. And over here in Ksuvas Daf Samach Dalet, and there are other places in Shas as well. And that is that, obviously, as far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah is interested that when a man has a yibum opportunity, he should do the mitzvah of yibum. Chalitza is just simply in the event that they don't want to do yibum, but really, yibum is preferred. At least that's what the Torah says. That was, and not only is that what the Torah wants, but that's what's called Mishnah Rishona, meaning attitudinally, that's what the Chachamim originally preferred, which is what the Torah, that's the Ratzon HaTorah. And then what happened is that over the course of years, so people were doing the mitzvah of Yibum, but not for the right reasons, for the wrong reasons. And they didn't have a proper kavana. And Abishol, Abishol was clearly of the position, and he reflects really this Mishnah Achrona, this later position, which is that given an opportunity to do the mitzvah of Yibum, no, don't do Yibum. We would prefer that you do the mitzvah of chalitza. Why? Because if you do the mitzvah of yibum and it's for the wrong reasons, so now what? So now it could very well be that absent your kavana, so now you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of yibum, and that's eishesach, and you could be pogea be'erva. So Abishol was of the position that what we would much prefer is chalitza over that of yibum. So now shalma yisrael. Now we understand the discrepancy between Shmuel and the Braisa. Right, Shmuel says that for Shomeres Yavam, you're not writing in Negeres Merit. The Braisa says you are writing in Negeres Merit. All they're doing is just simply reflecting what was the prevalent attitude at the time. At the time of the writing of the Braisa, the prevalent attitude was, you should be doing the mitzvah of Yibum. And he wants to. And she doesn't want to? Igeres Mered. On the other hand, when it comes to Shmuel, Shmuel was promoting what was prevalent at his time, which is, no, don't do the mitzvah of Yibum. He's proposing the mitzvah of Yibum. She doesn't want to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Right? From Mishnah Achrona standpoint, she's right. You should do the mitzvah of Chalitza, not the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay. So, and obviously, don't write Nigeres Mered under those circumstances. Okay. Shalma Yisrael, that is now the best resolution, the Gemara's conclusion, in terms of now the difference between Shmuel and the Braisa. Okay, and in quick summation now, what comes out now is that basically in a woman's refusal to be with her husband from an intimacy standpoint, and it doesn't matter whether they are married, Arusa, Shemeres Yavam, she's Anita at the time, but she is making a declaration that she's refusing to be intimate with her husband, so now she's a Moraitis under those circumstances. So now, there are two pathways to go down in terms of how to handle it, so to say. So the Mishnah advances a policy of deducting from Aksuv on a weekly basis, and the Braisa, quoting Rabbi Seinu, says that four announcements in Shul and Shabbos, and then afterwards a full declaration. And then over the course of today's daf, so we went even deeper into the discussion where she's not just a Moreda, she's not just simply saying, love you, but not interested in being intimate with you, but what happens when she says, Maisalai, that I am just absolutely rejecting everything. I reject you, I reject the Ksuva, I'm rejecting everything. So there, that's a full forfeiture now of her, of the marriage, of the Ksuva, and then you're right again, and she forfeits everything. Now again, the way Rashi presents it, we'll wait a little bit of time. We'll wait a year. Maybe she'll change her mind, but in other words, she's forfeiting everything. In this case of Maisalai, what is litigated in the Gemara is whether or not she gets to keep her clothing that was assessed and put into the tzuva, or does he get it? Rava never arrived at that resolution on that particular detail of the question. Okay, but that's in the case of Maisalai.
Is there a ketuba wiped out within the first 4 weeks?
In the Rabbi Sein, if you're going with the Rabbi Sein strategy, so the ksuva goes from its full value to zero.
In 4 weeks' time. So if according to
Shmuel,
they're going to give her a whole year, let's say after 9 months she changes her mind. So is the ketuva reinstituted or was it wiped out already?
Shmuel seems to be following the Mishnah's methodology and not the Rabbi Sein methodology. Uh-huh. And that is a weekly deduction. That seems to be Shmuel's approach. Ad Masai Hu Poches. Okay. Continuing now in the Gemara, we are going to discuss now two exciting topics, money and relations. Okay. And then at the end of today's talk, we talk about food. We hit today the trifecta of interesting topics in today's daf. So when she's a Moreda, a weekly deduction. How much? So in the Mishnah, you had a machlokus between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama says it's going to be 7 dinarim, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to be 7 tarpe'ikin. And then if he's a moreid, so how much are you adding to the ksuva? So say the same machlokus, but different numbers. So the according to the Tanakama, you're adding 3 dinarim weekly, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're adding 3 tarpe'ikin weekly. There are two obvious questions, right? Number one, what's a tarpic? Okay, that's a pretty good obvious question. And then the other obvious question, right, which also we asked yesterday, and the Gemara is going to have an answer today, and that is why the discrepancy? Okay, good. Two obvious questions. So number one, my tarpeikin. Okay, so that's a coin. Good. What is that? So I'm Rav Sheshes. And by the way, this, right, you're obviously with currency, so currency obviously is going to be a function of wherever you live. Right, you go to some God-forsaken country known as Guatemala, and they operate with a currency that right most people never heard of before. Okay, and so when you see this discussion in the Gemara, it's really fantastic. I mean, because obviously the Mishnah is reflecting currency in Eretz Yisrael, and then as far as the Amoraim and Bavel are concerned, so they're looking at the Mishnah and they're like wondering, like, hey, what is that? Okay, good. It just whatever. Once you start understanding the geography a little bit better, like all this makes sense. So my tarpeikin. So I'm Rav Sheshes Astira. So Rav Sheshet describes it as an astira. Okay, and for those who made help, that's a sela medina. Okay, great. So v'kama astira, the Gemara says, and what's that? Pagad azuza. So it's comparable to chatzi zuz. Okay, so clearly, right, in this back and forth in the Gemara, so there were certain currencies which are just simply more popular. Okay, good. So pagad azuza, it's a half a zuz. So tanya mehachi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shol shatar pikin, shein teishamayin, ma v'chesi l'chol yom. Okay, so three tarpikin. Three tarpikin, obviously, was what he's describing is the husband who's being married, meaning the husband being married, you're adding three tarpikin, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda, and it comes out to nine ma'a. Nine ma'a, and what are we going to do? We're going to do, we're going to divide that by 6 days. And that's nine divided by six, that's 1.5 per day. Okay, so that's going to be his assessment if he's a married. Now, Amalei Rebbe Chia Bar Yosef, Bar Yosef Shmuel Maishna Iu, De Yavin Le De Shabbos Maishna I, De Lo Yavin Le De Shabbos. So I know we're still getting to the big question of why the discrepancy between him and her. But before we get there, the Gemara just makes the following observation. How much is his penalty going to be? It's going to be a 1.5 either dinar or tarpik, depending on who you ask. But let's leave it with the number. 1.5 per day. Penalty, but only 6 days a week. In other words, not Shabbos. How do I know that? Because that's the way the numbers work out. In other words, it's 1.5 times six. 1.5 times six, it's nine, right? And it's and meanwhile, what happened when she was rebelling? So it's going to be seven. In other words, it's one tarpik a day. I know the larger question, of course, is that there's a major discrepancy in terms of the number. But in other words, her penalty is every day of the week, including Shabbos. So why is her penalty going to include Shabbos? Why is this penalty going to be excluding Shabbos? Gemara gives a fascinating answer. So the umayshna e de lo yavin le la de Shabbos e de mifchas kapachas on mechse kischar Shabbos e de mosife kamosve so mechse kischar Shabbos went on the top of the Amud Beis, and so there's the issue of what's called schar Shabbos. So what is schar Shabbos? So getting paid to do work on Shabbos, meaning when I say work, I'm meaning work obviously that doesn't serve as a malacha. But in other words, you're providing some sort of service which is chargeable, and you're doing so on Shabbos. So are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? Meaning, can you charge money for work that you do on Shabbos? I'll give you examples. A chazan, a bal tokeya. It happens to be, we have the schos of davening in a shul, where with the bal tokeya, the chazanim, so they don't charge. Okay, that's... Yesh v'yesh. In other words, many shuls hire chazanim, and many shuls hire balei tokeya. And those are just but simple examples, right? Other services that could be done on Shabbos, whatever. So can you do that? So the simple answer, of course, is no. In other words, it's a but it's not an isidur, right? So it's an isidur abanan to go and to charge money for work that you do on Shabbos. Okay. There are heterim, there are ways in terms of where it becomes permitted, is what's called havla'a. And I'll tell you what, it's a really interesting topic. Just, I'm not going to get too far into it. But anyway, and Tosfos is bothered over here because, in other words, presumably this would be an example of havla'a. But just to say over the simple pshat in the Gemara, it basically goes like this. So when it comes to deductions from the ksuva, so there, you're not adding to the ksuva, you're deducting from the ksuva. So there, you could do so daily, including Shabbos as well. It doesn't look like Schar Shabbos. Masha'en came when you're adding to the ksuva, which is the penalty imposed upon him when he is refusing to be intimate with his wife, and now you're adding to the ksuva. So every addition that you're making now, and now making a separate addition for Shabbos, that looks like Schar Shabbos. That's why an addition is not going to be made for Shabbos. That's the Gemara's response in terms of why her penalty per day penalty is including Shabbos, and his per day penalty is not including Shabbos. But now, obviously, we get to the big question, which is Amrle Rav Chia Bar Yosef Shmuel Ma Bein Moredis. No, what's the difference? Meaning, how come her Moredis is going to be assessed a penalty, which is going to be twice as much as his penalty, his daily penalty? And again, leaving Shabbos aside for just a moment. In other words, but hers is twice as much. Why should that be? So the Gemara gives basically a very human response, right? And it speaks to the Yetzer Hara. So ma be mored la moredes amrleit say ulaman mishuk shel zonos misocher es mi. So if you have gone to a house of ill repute, so and so who's hiring who? In other words, who's demanding these services more? Right? Look at the market. The market will tell you that obviously this is much more of a need for him than for her. In other words, he's hiring women typically. So what does that mean? It means that when she's refusing intimacy, so it obviously is going to hurt him much more than if he's refusing intimacy, hurting her. It's going to hurt either way, but in terms of giving a value, a monetary value to this kind of pain, so obviously it's going to be more pain for him than it is for her. And not only is it going to be more pain for him than for her, but it's also going to be more embarrassing for him than for her. Why? And the Gemara also points out, also, so when he is not being satisfied by his wife, and so therefore what's going to happen is that he will be embarrassed in public. In other words, he's going to go around, and his desire to be with his wife will be evidence to everybody. In other words, he'll be erect in public, and it'll be embarrassing. That's the way Rashi presents it. She, on the other hand, no one's going to know. So in other words, basically, if we could put this in mamonos categories, there's tsar and there's boshas. More tsar and boshas for him than for her. Okay, and that explains the discrepancy.
But if you had a second wife, this would not be an issue.
If you had a second wife, so then this obviously would be much, much less of an issue. It's an excellent point. And on top of that also, I'll add this all explains if the merida is bia, is intimacy. But we also discussed in yesterday's daf that merid could also be she's not providing her maisei adayim. She's not working. Then this discrepancy certainly, this explanation is not going to explain the discrepancy if, in fact, we're talking about maisei adayim. Okay, good. So the obviously the Gemara is only focusing on, right, like you pointed out, it's a monogamous relationship. And on top of that also, the merit over here is clearly on the Tashmish Shemitah.
When he's morit, is he refusing to provide her with the
tzar? Again, the simplest pshat in the Mishnah is that no, he's refusing to be with her, okay. To husband and wife. Okay, that's a simple pshat. Okay, what we'll do is follows I was going to say we'll do the Mishnah. No, we won't do the Mishnah. We'll save the Mishnah. Okay, we'll start tomorrow with the Mishnah. Okay, our last topic of discussion for today, which we'll table for tomorrow, is going to be food. In other words, not just food, but in other words, but he has to provide for her mizonos. So what does that mean? So we know what it means. In other words, he has to provide for her enough food. But here, the Mishnah is going to go through what exactly is his base minimum requirement for her weekly diet. Okay, and also we know that she has to provide maisei adayim to him. What does that mean? The Mishnah over here really spells it out in detail. Okay, well, then we'll start with that tomorrow.